We won't stop praising Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I needed that song. Amen. Sounds like you needed it too. Just a reminder, amen. Praise the living God. Well, welcome this evening to the house of God. We want to take a moment to welcome all those who are joining us online. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together here in the house. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for those who are visiting with us for the first time. We hope and pray you've already been blessed tonight by the presence of the Lord. We want to take a moment to acknowledge not just those that are here in the house, but those that are joining us from all over the world. This evening with us, we have Kenya. We also have South Africa. We've got Zambia. We've got folks from South Korea, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Singapore. The Philippines is in the house tonight. We've got India, New Zealand, Australia. We've got the UK in the house. We've got Wales, Northern Ireland, Hungary, Netherlands, Ireland, Romania, Finland, Germany, Austria. We've got our northern neighbors, Canada, southern neighbors, Mexico, Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica, Barbados, St. Lucia, French Guiana, U.S. Virgin Islands, Panama, Grenada. Suriname tonight is with us, Bolivia, Peru, Venezuela. We thank God for what he's doing, and we're praying continually for that nation. We've got Uruguay in the house, Ecuador, Argentina, Puerto Rico, and the Dominican Republic. Praise the living God. Amen. 36 countries and 33 states. We thank God for what he's doing. We also have NYU University with us, NYU, New York University with us. Delighted to have you. God bless you this evening. Amen. Well, I do have a word for us tonight, and in a moment, we're going to pray, but if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read the scriptures together this evening. And then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to have you be seated in a moment. But just to give you a little quick context here, this letter was written to encourage. Somebody say encourage. This letter was written to encourage the believers to endure the intense persecution that was prevalent during their time. It was also to prepare the readers, hear me tonight, to prepare the readers for the difficult times that were just ahead of them. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 1, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 9, and we're reading from the NIV translation. It says this, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Amen. And that's where we get our title from tonight. Grace and peace in times of trial. But let's continue. Verse 3 says, praise be to God, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. Another passage, another translation says, we've been born again. Hallelujah. Born from above, begotten into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded. Another translation says, kept by the power of God, kept by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, a heavenly joy that the world can't give you and that the world can't take away. Are you with me, somebody, tonight? Last verse. For you are receiving the end result, receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Grace and peace in times of trial. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence that we already sense in this house. We thank you for one another. And we thank you tonight for your word, which is still a lamp to our feet and a light to your path, a light to our path. Let your word fall on good soil tonight. Give us ears to hear what your spirit wants to say. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that is due your name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Before you're seated, I want you to turn to your neighbor on your left and right, smile him down. In the name of Jesus. Give him a Holy Ghost smile. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, who are our main characters in this particular passage that we read tonight? Well, we have the Apostle Peter, and we have those to whom he's writing, who he calls God's elect. Tonight, we're going to begin with Peter. Peter, the Bible says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The Amplified Bible says, a special messenger. The word means one sent on a mission. That's what the word apostle means. Someone who is sent on a mission. Now, what were his credentials? If I ask you tonight, what are some of the things that could be said about him? If you recall from the scriptures and what you know about the apostle Peter, well, he's a former fisherman, right? He was called by Jesus to follow him even while he was fishing. And he's a man who left everything behind to do so. Like some of us here this evening have done the same, to follow Jesus. He once called us and we heard him and we left everything behind, right? We sing that song, the cross before me, the world behind me, amen? He's one of the 12 disciples, but he's also part of Jesus's inner circle. You'll remember, you had the 12 disciples, but then there were three disciples in particular, Peter, James, and John, who went everywhere with him and had those special moments, even like on the Mount of Transfiguration that were with him. He's also a man who's nicknamed Cephas, the rock, Peter, Pierre in French, which means rock. A man who constantly stood out, taking center stage, pushed to the front of the line and blurted out outrageous claims and made incredible statements. Peter was a man with a big heart and unlimited enthusiasm. He had a lot of rough edges though, yet he was still called by God, just like you and I, a work in progress. Amen. A man who thought so highly of himself, though, that he once boasted that even if the others denied Jesus, he never would. And we all know how that ended. Now, at this particular time, in writing this epistle, we see him after having been restored for some time, much older, and being used by God to strengthen his brethren, just like Jesus said he would. Hallelujah. A man who knew failure well is now encouraging and strengthening believers everywhere in their faith. Aren't you glad that the Lord never gives up on us? No matter what our failures, we serve a God of first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and the beat goes on and on, folks. Chances, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who's this man Peter writing to, though? He's writing to God's elect. When speaking of the last days, Jesus uses this term as well. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 and 22, Jesus said this, "And then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." Also in verse 24 and 31, same chapter, he goes on to say this, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds," talking about the rapture of the church, "from one end of the heavens to the other." One day, folks, a trumpet is gonna sound. One day, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. What does Peter say about God's elect? Well, number one, the elect are chosen by God. That's verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1. That word, elect, means just that. It means to be chosen by God, to be God's chosen, to be God's chosen people. Now, once that had been a title that belonged to Israel alone, Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 says it this way, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession," his treasured possession. But this title now also belongs to the church of Jesus Christ, the Christian church. Jesus said it himself, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Hallelujah. Galatians 6:16 said it also. It says, "May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 says it. "Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people, God's chosen. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." Hallelujah. God's mercy. So the elect are chosen by God, but the elect are also living as strangers, exiles. Another translation says foreigners. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, which we read. Strangers, sojourners, just passing through this world. This is not our home, folks. If you are a Christian person, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you are a pilgrim, a sojourner, just passing through, hopefully leaving in your wake and mine the fragrance of Jesus, Signs and wonders shall follow those who believe. In my name, they shall take up serpents and they won't be wounded or hurt. In my name, hallelujah, they'll bring deliverance. They'll preach the gospel. They'll heal the sick. They'll raise the dead. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16 says, all these people died, speaking of those found in throughout the book of Hebrews, the chapter 11, called the Hall of Faith, speaking of all those who have gone before us, that great cloud of witnesses. All these people died, still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance. They all saw it from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were what? Foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they had come from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hallelujah. He has prepared a city. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you so. Hallelujah. I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Amen. Number three, the elect are scattered throughout the provinces. Scattered throughout. Amen. Scattered throughout. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We read it together. You know, the believers in that day, because of what they were facing, another translation says that they were part of the dispersion. Those that were dispersed, that were scattered because of persecution. Many were living as exiles, had to leave their home, had to live as refugees, even in other cities and other towns and villages, having to leave everything behind because of the threats or because they lost their jobs or they were seeking work. They couldn't find work because they were being rejected by their people because they had once followed the Jewish way and now they were following Christ. And so they were no longer living under the law. Many of them were now exiles because they had once pledged allegiance as Romans, but now they were pledging allegiance to a new king, right? And so even the government was persecuting them. Folks, and we're living in a time like that today. Are you with me? Where there's a threat on all sides. James 1:1 puts it this way. Here's the Apostle James writing to the believers. It says, this is a letter from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad, right? Scattered abroad. He says, greetings. You know, Pastor Tim reminds us that the body of Christ is not just limited to our 10019 zip code here, right in Midtown. God has people everywhere. Remember, Jeremiah thought he was all alone, but that wasn't true at all. God has an army. I said, God has an army. God has people everywhere. Hallelujah. Those of you who are joining us online are part of that army. He has people that are shining for him in the darkness of this world. And that includes you. I said, that includes you. Tell somebody, turn to somebody on your left and right and tell somebody, that includes you. Hallelujah. We are salt and light. We are his masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. The elect are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. The word sanctification means to make holy. This is how it's defined, to make holy, to consecrate, to separate from the world, and to be set apart from sin in order that we may have close fellowship with God and serve him. Amen. That's what the word sanctification means, or to sanctify. It means to be set apart. to make holy or to be made holy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, reading from the NLT translation says, "As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy, through the Spirit who sanctifies you, who has sanctified you, and through your belief in the what? In the truth." Hallelujah. Folks, we are made holy. Listen to me tonight. We are made holy, sanctified by God because of our faith in Jesus. That is our position in Christ. That is our current position. Just like we are seated with him in heavenly places, right? We are holy. We are righteous. That's what the Bible says. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, he said our righteousness is of him. Amen. It comes from him. He is our holiness. He is our sanctification. That is our position in Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 puts it this way. "For God's will was for us to be made what? To be made what?
Holy.
Holy. By the sacrifice of the body of Christ once for all time." Hallelujah. Folks, you know what that means? It's not based on your performance or mine. Let me let that sink in for a moment. Holy, once for all time. And it's not based on your performance or mine. It's based on our faith in Jesus and his finished work. That is our position in Christ. Amen. But our current condition is that in a lot of ways, we're not really in our character and in our thinking and in our behavior at times like Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying? And so our condition can be just that. Our position is that we're holy. But guess what? We are also being made holy as we obey him and walk with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. This means we are also being sanctified. So we have been sanctified, that is our position, but we are also being sanctified, being set apart, being changed, being made more like Jesus day from day to day. My position is I am holy, righteous, amen? But my current condition, my current character, when I first come to Jesus, I'm not like Jesus. And so what is God, the Holy Spirit, doing? Well, he's changing me, right? There's an old song we used to sing, "Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, oh, what a change in my life," right? So what is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, he's changing my character, my condition. He's changing my quality of life, right? And he's raising me up. He's making me more and more like Jesus so that my condition gets closer to matching my position in Christ. Are you with me? Let me prove it to you. Hebrews chapter 10, the same chapter, verse 14. So we read verse 10, which says holy once and for all, right? But here's verse 14. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are what? Being made holy. Being changed, going from glory to glory, image to image. Amen? Hallelujah. The elect are obedient to Jesus. That was verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 1. The elect are obedient to Jesus. 1 Peter verse 1, verse 14 through 16 says it this way. So you must live as God's what? Obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be what? Holy, set apart, consecrated. In some things, in most things, in everything you do, right? Now it's talking about our responsibility. Just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, same chapter, verse 1 says this. You were cleansed from your sins when you what? Obeyed the truth. What is he saying? He's saying, well, folks, at the cross, when we pray to place our faith in Jesus, we were cleansed once and for all, right? But again, our behavior has to match our profession. If I'm a Christian, I need to act like one at some point and not play the hypocrite. Say amen or say ouch. Amen. You were cleansed, which means you're now being set apart by your obedience to the truth. So that we're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers. I hope this is making sense. The elect are people who have been sprinkled, cleansed with his blood. 1 Peter 1, 2. Hebrews 10, 22, same chapter. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Verse 24 of the same chapter says, you have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Amen. The elect are people who have been sprinkled, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Lastly, the elect are people who are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus, who are being tried and tested, who are going through fiery trials because of their faith in Jesus. You know, when we read Peter's letter, we're reminded that persecution and grievous trials have been part of the Christian experience, folks, from the very beginning. From the very beginning. I think of those being persecuted even now for their faith in countries like Nigeria, Colombia, Cuba, which we recently talked about and highlighted, and other parts of the world. Some here now know what it's like to be persecuted at home, on the job, on your campus, and so on, simply because you hold to a biblical worldview. For others, it may not be persecution that you're facing, but some other extremely difficult situation or crisis. It could be health-related or financial or relational or spiritual, and you're wondering, am I going to make it? What's going to happen? Or maybe you've asked the question, why is this happening? Or God, where are you? God, where are you? Folks, in Peter's epistle, same epistle, first epistle, chapter 4, verse 12 to 14, he says this. Let's read it together. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. For these trials make you partners with Christ in his sufferings, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So be happy when you are insulted. What? Be happy? Are you sure, Peter? Folks, Peter's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we should be saying, are you sure, Holy Spirit? So be happy when you're insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests on you. Hallelujah. Folks, I think at one time I might have shared this story before. One time my wife and I, we were heading towards our apartment and walking down the street here, and a homeless man who we had seen before spotted us. And we've always been very kind to this homeless man and giving him, you know, buying him food and doing all kinds of stuff. Well, you know, sometimes you don't know. You know, when you're not surrendered to Christ, you know, you can open yourself up to stuff. And so I had been secretly praying, Lord, you know, David Wilkerson, he gets attacked by the enemy. Pastor Carter gets attacked by the enemy. Others have been attacked by the enemy and yelled at on the street. And, you know, maybe I'm no threat to hell. Well, that day, my wife and I are walking down the sidewalk. And this man, he is following us on the street, and he is cursing the most vile curses and threats at us, threatening, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna stab you when you don't know it's coming, I'm gonna come up on you, I'm gonna do this and that. And folks, you know what? While he was doing that, in my mind and heart, I was saying, yes, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hell knows my name. Finally, I'm making a difference. I'm a threat to the devil. Yes, Jesus. I'm saying this to myself. Meanwhile, my wife is praying, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I bind you, devil. Lord, silence the voice of the enemy. Two totally different perspectives. Praise God. Because I realized something. That the glorious Spirit of God rests on me. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the enemy targets us. Amen. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 reminds us that all who strive to live godly will suffer persecution or experience pain to some degree or another in this life. Folks, millions have died over the centuries. Millions have died over the centuries for being followers of Christ. As a matter of fact, more Christians have been martyred. This is what the stats tell us. More Christians have been martyred in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined. I read somewhere that indeed at this very moment, folks, some 200 million followers of Jesus worldwide face the chilling prospect of being arrested, tortured, and even killed for their faith. This is the hour we're living in. Folks, I want to show you two pictures. Two pictures that were shown to my wife and I even this past Sunday. Two pictures. You know what those pictures are? Fragments from a bomb that was used to kill Christians. Fragments from a bomb that was used to kill Christians. Folks, this is the world we live in. This is the reality. This is our reality. This is the times we live in. This is the world we live in. And so we're not to think it's strange, folks, when these things come upon us or when these things happen. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed. Blessed. That word blessed means fully satisfied being indwelt by God. Fully satisfied being indwelt by God. Even as we're being persecuted for the sake of righteousness, because we know that the kingdom of heaven is ours and awaits us. Amen. The Apostle Peter, he went on to comfort God's people through this epistle, reminding them of the great salvation and future inheritance that laid just ahead of them. Folks, how does the Apostle Peter encourage his readers? I want to point out quickly five quick things to us here today. Number one, he reminds them that Christ suffered before us as an example. Christ suffered before us as an example. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with what? The same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. He reminds them that Christ suffered before us as an example. Folks, we are not alone. God is not calling us to do something that he hasn't paved the way before us for. Amen? Number two, he encourages them to live godly, to live good lives, and thus bring glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Be careful. Somebody say, be careful. Yeah. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. They will see your good works. And they will give honor and glory to God when he judges the world. They won't help but be able to give glory to God. Amen? So he encourages them to live godly and thus bring glory to God. Number three, he reminds them of the suffering, that it's only temporary, that their suffering is temporary. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, we read it earlier. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials. For what? For a little while. Folks, in comparison with eternity, in comparison with forever, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? Same letter, same epistle, chapter 5, verse 10. He says it this way. He says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, in Christ, after you have suffered what? A little while, will himself do what? Restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Hallelujah. Let's read that again. Himself will what? restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. One more time. Restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. What is God doing? He's going to restore us. He's restoring us. He's making us strong. Amen. Firm and steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. Come on, somebody give him glory tonight. And lastly, he reminds them of their great salvation. Two more. I'm sorry. Number four, he reminds them of their great salvation and heavenly inheritance. In other words, he calls it their living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his grace, mercy that we have been," what? "Born again, because God raised Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless," somebody say priceless, "priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond reach of change and decay." Amen. And number five, he encourages them to keep serving God, keep serving for God's glory, for the glory of God, occupying till he comes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. He says this, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. "Since we are approaching the end of all things, be intentional, purposeful, and self-controlled, so that you can be given to prayer." Amen. "Above all, constantly echo God's intense love for one another." In other words, follow his example. "For love will be a canopy over a multitude of sins." Love covers a multitude of sins. "So use them to serve one another." I'm sorry, I skipped a part here. Multitude of sins. "Be compassionate to foreigners without complaining." Uh-oh. "Every believer has received grace. Grace that enables you to flow in gifts. Grace gifts. Gifts from the Holy Spirit." How many of you can cook? No, how many of you can really cook? I know Ms. Glenda here on the first row can cook. Let me see that hand. How many online could cook? Amen. Well, you should be using that to bless somebody. Amen. That's what he's talking about here. Whatever grace God has given you, whatever giftings he's given you, however he's graced you. I've said this before. You ever see those skaters during the Olympics on the ice as they're gliding across the ice? There's such a gracefulness, right? That's a God-given ability, folks. I can't skate like that. Doing pirouettes and all that other stuff. But they can. There's a grace that has been given to all of us, right? Grace, he calls it grace gifts. He says, "So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many colored tapestry of God's grace, of the manifold grace of God." For example, and he gives just some simple examples. He said, "If you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking his words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to him belong the power and glory forever throughout all ages. Amen." Amen? Amen. Praise the living God. Folks, God is good. all the time. God is good. Folks, tonight, I want to close with this final thought. How are you going to make it? How am I going to make it? How are we going to make it? Well, we read it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We are shielded, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Let me say that again. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. How are you and I going to make it? We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. What does that mean? Well, number one, it means believers are kept protected by the power of God against the forces of evil that would want to destroy their lives and salvation. Jude put it this way in verse 24. He said, now unto him who's able to keep you from falling. Romans 8 puts it this way. What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Why? Because we are being kept by the power of God. Number two, the required condition, the prerequisite needed for God's protection is what? Faith. It's faith, folks. Just as believers are saved only through faith, so are believers protected by the power of God only through faith. Ephesians 2:8 says it this way. God saved you by his grace when you believe, but you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. In the same way, God keeps you by his grace when you continue to believe. Let's read it together. I'm going to prove it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says it this way. But as for you, continue in what you've what? Learned and have become convinced of. In other words, what you've believed. Because you know those from whom you learned it. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures. You know the promises of God that are yes and amen. Precious promises by which you and I are made partakers. That's Peter. Of his divine nature, which are able to make you wise for salvation through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. And then lastly, what is the ultimate goal of God's protection through a believer's faith? It's salvation. This salvation refers to receiving our inheritance in heaven. It refers to you and I making it across the finish line. As I've said it before, the head has crossed the finish line into glory. That's Jesus, the head of the church. Listen, there won't be a bodiless church in glory. We, the body, are soon to cross that threshold as well. Amen. So God is the one keeping you and I. Let's all stand together unto the salvation of our souls. I want us to read these last verses out loud together. Would you join me tonight? This is Psalm 121, a very familiar passage of scripture. On the count of three, I want us to read it together. Out loud. Are you with me? And read it like you mean it. Read it like you believe it. One, two, three. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who what? Slumber. Behold, he who will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The Lord The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, tonight, I want to do something different. I want us to take a moment. Before we take a moment to pray for our own needs, I'm going to ask Sister Ifama, who's part of our staff. I spoke to her a little bit earlier, and I'm going to ask her to come and lead us in prayer. But we're going to pray for the persecuted church. This is something that has been on my heart for months now. And every time I would go to do it, I would try to do it during our pre-service prayer, but it never would happen for some reason or another. But tonight, I believe God would have us take a moment to pray for our brothers and sisters, those 200 million right now across this globe that are facing arrest, torture, and even being martyred for the sake of Christ. And this is how we're gonna pray tonight. This is how we're gonna pray. I'm gonna give you instruction how we're gonna pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 through 31, Peter and John have been arrested and now released. They were arrested because God used them to bring healing to a lame man. You remember the story. And they were being threatened not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. When they were released, they went back to their comrades, their fellow brothers and sisters. And you know what they prayed? They prayed for boldness, signs, and wonders to be done in the name of Jesus. They prayed that they would not stop speaking out of fear of being hurt or wounded or arrested or tortured or even fear of death. They prayed for boldness. And the Bible says the place where they were shaken was filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gave them the boldness they prayed for. So this is what we're praying for our brothers and sisters, that they would speak with boldness. And that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 12, the believers prayed for Peter, and he was delivered from imprisonment. So we can pray for that. We can pray that they would be delivered. Amen? But if they're not delivered from that fiery trial, we're gonna pray like Daniel in chapter 3 for the three Hebrew boys. The Bible says that they were not affected by the fiery trial, but that the testimony of that they were a testimony to an unbelieving king and those around them. Amen. And so let's pray for our brothers and sisters tonight, that God would give them boldness, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus, that God would deliver them. But if they're not delivered, amen, that those around them would see the fourth man in their fire. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to lift your voice to God right now as Sister Ifama begins to pray. You lift your voice to God and pray for your brothers and sisters around the world in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, we come before you, Lord God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, remembering our own brothers and sisters in Christ in persecuted countries, Lord Jesus. Even Paul said, "Remember me in my chains." He told that to the church, God, we are to remember our brothers and sisters that are suffering, Lord, that cannot freely worship, cannot freely be Christians, God, without being persecuted, without the threats of violence, Lord God, or death even, Lord, in imprisonment, God. We come, Lord God, with knowing, God, as we heard in this message, God, that our own suffering for believers just desiring to live godly, we can connect on that level. We know what it is to suffer because we desire to live godly, to suffer because we want to follow Jesus and walk with you, Lord God. And on that level, Lord God, we have that compassion, God, and we join our brothers and sisters, God. We share in their struggle, Lord Jesus, in the Spirit, God, and we pray, Lord God, for a miraculous move of the Spirit through them, Lord God, that you would give them, Lord God, the power, Lord Jesus, that will keep them through persecution, Lord God. Fill them with your spirit, Lord Jesus. Fill them, Lord God, for the time that they need to stand before kings, God. You said, don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it, God. The Holy Spirit will fill them with words when they come before authorities, Lord God, and powers, oh God, that ask them questions, oh God, and where they have to give an account for what they believe, Lord Jesus. So I pray, God, that you will feed them, give them confidence, Lord God. Give them boldness, Lord God, in that day, Lord God. You give us faith for when we need it, God. We don't have to look ahead and worry, Lord Jesus. You will give us what we need when we get there. You will give them what they need, Lord God. You are God of miracles and signs and wonders, Lord. And we know that when Stephen was facing persecution, Lord God, and they were throwing stones at him, he looked up and he saw Jesus. God, I pray they will look up and see you, Lord, no matter what they are going through, that their eyes will be fixed on you. That's what's going to get them through every situation, Lord Jesus, is their eyes focused on you. They're going to see their Lord high and lifted up, God, and they're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, Lord God. So I pray that you would give them strength, oh God, and power, Lord God, and boldness, Lord God, and that you would follow everything with signs and wonders, Lord God, so that be a testimony to those around them, Lord God. When the enemy comes and mocks, Lord Jesus, because he's afraid and he's a coward, God, we know how wicked he is, Lord God. We know just for a baby that was born, he decreed for every child to and under to be killed. God, this is the ruthlessness that we're dealing with, the fear of hell, Lord God, because of the church, Lord God. But you are able to raise up a standard against him every single time. And what is weak, God, you make strong, Lord God. And you said the gates of hell will not prevail against your church, Lord God. So we pray, Lord God, for victory. We pray, Lord God, for more than conquerors, oh God, that our persecuted brothers and sisters will remember that, God, when they are faced with, Lord God, what seems like hell coming against them. There are more that are with them than against them, God. The heaven's armies are with them, Lord God. And when it feels like in the natural eye, they might be losing a battle, give them spiritual eyes to see, Lord Jesus, that victory belongs to Jesus, God, and that victory is the Lord's, God. And I pray that they will feel so close to you, Lord God, that like the disciples, they will rejoice to be counted worthy to suffer with like Jesus suffered, Lord God. No servant is greater than their master. The world hated you, it will hate us. The world hated you, God, it hates your people, Lord Jesus. But I thank you, Lord God, that the love of God will compel them and give them strength in every situation, Lord God, to love those that persecute them, God, that in the face of hell, Lord God, they will see souls that you desire to be saved and changed, Lord God, and that they will stand and say, I'm going to honor my Lord. I'm not going to deny Jesus, but I will declare that I am a believer in Jesus Christ, Lord, and you are able to save them from the fiery furnace. But even if you don't, oh God, they will not bow down, oh God, to the spirit of this age. So we pray, God, for your strength and conviction and the love. They will be in the presence of God no matter where they are, if it's in a prison cell, oh God, or if it's in a dungeon, oh God, where there's mess all around them, Lord God, what they go through, Lord God, and the suffering, you see it all, God. But I pray in the spirit they will be surrounded by heaven's armies. They will sense the purity of God around them, Lord Jesus, and your spirit and your presence, God, and they will be overwhelmed by the love of God and the spirit of God and the presence of God that will cause them, Lord God, to move in the spirit, and it will give them power. And I pray, God, those around them, Lord God, will see it and say, that person, God, surely God is with them. They will see that fourth man in the fire, Lord God. They will see the miracles and signs and wonders of God, Lord. We thank you for the testimony, Lord God, that is written in heaven, Lord Jesus, of your saints, oh God, that have overcome and that will continue to overcome and will yet overcome. We give you praise and glory and honor. We serve a mighty king and a mighty warrior, oh God, who has defeated hell, and you hold the keys of hell and of death, oh God, and you have called victory for your saints, Lord God, and you have our lives, and life belongs to you, Lord Jesus, and you have promised us life and life more abundantly. I pray that you will give your servants so much boldness, they will not fear death, oh God. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. They will not fear it, Lord God, but they will fear the Lord, oh Jesus, and they will see you high and lifted up, and on their behalf, God, you will lift up your name, oh God, above every name, oh God, and make an open show and display, God, of the enemy, God, and bring down, oh God, high places and wickedness, oh God, in high places, you will bring them down, Lord Jesus. And so we thank you for the victory in Christ. We thank you for our brothers and sisters. We pray your strength and honor and glory, Lord God, that people who are persecutors will be like from Saul's to Paul's, from what they have seen, oh God, from the glory of God they have seen, from how you have put dignity on your your saints in the midst of persecution, God. Only you can do it, God. We give you glory and honor and praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I've got the mic. Praise God. Amen. Folks, some of you here tonight, you're in your own fiery furnace right now, and we don't want to leave here without praying for you tonight. You know, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So we're going to do that right now. How many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to come step forward, but you're in your own furnace right now. You're in your own fiery trial. You're facing a crisis in life right now. Let me see a show of hands here. How many facing a crisis right now? Whatever that crisis is, the Lord knows. He sees your hand. Lift it up real high so your brothers and sisters can see it around you. Folks, look at your brothers and sisters around you. See those who are facing a crisis right now. Right now, would you lay a hand on one sister or brother's shoulder? Men with men, ladies with ladies. Let's stand together. Let's pray for one another right now in the name of Jesus. Before we leave this place, let's pray for one another right now in the name of Jesus. Before we leave this place, lifting our voices to God. Father, we take a moment. We lift our voices on behalf of our brothers and sisters tonight. And we pray, God, that you would strengthen them through the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that they are indeed being kept, Lord, shielded, protected by your power through faith. You see what their needs are. Thank you for being the great I am. You said to tell the people, the children of Israel, that I am has sent you. Lord, thank you that you are the one. You are what we need. Your word says you've given us all that pertains to life and godliness. And so we look to you and you alone. I pray for my brothers and sisters here and those online. God, that you will be their glory and the lifter of their heads. God, that you will continue to order their steps. God, that you will continue to give them a song in the night. Lord, that you will grant them great boldness. Lord, that in the name of Jesus, they'll keep serving. They'll keep loving you. They'll keep, Lord, serving and being a blessing to others so that your light can shine through them. I thank you that you're making them strong. You're making them firm, God, and you are establishing them. God, I thank you that you're making them steadfast, that you're forming your character in them. You're building endurance in them. God, now in Jesus' name, let every dark cloud of despair and confusion be lifted and frustration. Let there come a surrender to you, Lord, so that your purposes would be accomplished. I pray that they would commune with you. Lord, that they would be found on their knees seeking you, Lord. Lord, seeking your face, Lord. Seeking your face and receiving, Lord, that which cannot be taken from them. Lord, even as we heard on Sunday, Lord, finding that highway in the valley, God. God, highways in the valleys, God. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for the good work you began in them, Lord, and that you will finish against the day of your coming. Now be glorified. God, be magnified. Let every stronghold be broken. Strongholds of despair and depression and hopelessness, let it be broken right now in the name of Jesus. And let freedom reign. Let freedom reign. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is victory. Hallelujah. There is freedom. There is victory. Now, God, we thank you in advance. Lord, on this side of the Red Sea, we thank you in advance on this side of the Red Sea for the victory that is already ours in Christ, that has been given to us by faith, the victory of our Savior, the victory of our God. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you for being among us. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. Thank you for anointing us, directing us, using us, strengthening us, God, establishing us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Give him a shout of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. God is good. And we have the victory. Amen. We're going to go rejoicing tonight. But before we do, make sure, encourage someone before you leave today. Amen. Make sure you encourage someone before you leave this house. Let God use you to bless somebody. Amen. God bless you.